Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome to April Moments That Matter. And speaking of moments that matter, while you are hearing this, I am experiencing a trip with my husband in Greece with a team that we are leading to go from place to place that Paul ministered in the footsteps of Paul and Paul's journeys. So, greetings from Greece, even though I'm recording this before I leave. And that just prompted me to want to share something today. I am going from Greece to Missouri to graduate from seminary. Y'all, it has been 2 years that I have been in graduate school nonstop, even through the summers. I have learned so much. I have grown so much. I have been challenged and stretched. I have read thousands and thousands of pages over the last 2 years, but I'm so grateful that I've done it. And I know that it's just going to make me more effective as a pastor, a leader, an author, a podcast host, just to even have a better frame in the way that we interpret the Bible, the way that we apply the Bible to our lives. And so one of my last courses was hermeneutics, which is a big fancy word for knowing how to study and interpret the Bible. And our big term paper was another big fancy word called an exegetical paper. And exegesis is the process of studying a passage of scripture to draw out what the intended original meaning was to the audience of the day by that author. And then what principles from that passage can we apply to our lives today? So since I was going on this trip to Greece, I had another assignment for a different class at the same time to film a sermon, create and film a sermon on a New Testament passage. And I chose to do a passage from the book of Philippians for that sermon and also use that same passage to be what I've written for my exegetical paper. And then I'm going to be teaching from that passage in Philippi in Greece. So there is a full circle for you. So I just felt like what a better way to bring you April Moments That Matter, but to bring you the sermon that I studied and prepared and shared for the class that was communicating the message from the New Testament. I actually shared a little bit different version of the final message a couple of weeks ago, which was one of the highlights of this month in April Moments That Matter. And that was a women's conference for our Hispanic church at our church, River of Life, here outside of DC in Virginia. And this sermon is all about moving from anxiety to peace. There are so many things, you guys, that cause us anxiety. And there were so many things that were causing anxiety for the church in Philippi that Paul wrote to, that he loved so much, that he was concerned about, and they were concerned about him. And so some of the same exact statements that he said to them are exactly what our hearts and minds need to hear today. God does not want us living in anxiety. We are always going to have situations that come our way that cause us to feel anxious, and we don't need to be ashamed of that, but we need to know what to do with our anxious thoughts. We need to know what to do with our emotions that can just overwhelm us and end up leading or crippling us or being consumed by anxious thoughts. And that doesn't have to be the way we live as believers. We can live victorious overcomers in our emotions and our thought life, and then in our actions. And you're gonna hear as you listen to this sermon in just a moment that the result is not just for us to live in peace, but it's to bring the peace of God into everyone that we meet, every situation, every circumstance, our relationships, and ultimately to those who don't know Christ, so that the peace of God that is in us will flow out of us to a hurting and a broken world. So Greetings from Greece. You are so loved. I wish you were here with me. Make sure you're following me on social media so that you can see where we are and what's going on. If you haven't joined my email community, head over to angeladonatio.com so that you don't miss anything that's going on, any updates that might be happening. You'll be the first to hear there. Those are the two places you want to make sure that you're a part of the conversation that's happening outside of the podcast. And then I hope this message encourages your heart today. Whatever might be causing you to feel anxious, just know how much you are loved by God and how much His word is still applicable to our lives today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word does not change and He does not fail. So you can, as we like to say at River of Life, you can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank and know that He is faithful. So love you guys. Praying for you while we're gone. While I'm gone, you're still going to have a wonderful episode. Serena Dykeson is coming your way. And then you're going to have two episodes that are my favorite episodes, some of my favorites in the last couple of years, about celebration and then celebrating moms for Mother's Day. So just keep tuning in. And then when I get back, I'll share some updates about the trip and bring some brand new conversations your way that you're not going to want to miss. So here is the most recent message that I have preached and written and deep dive studied on this passage from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, a pathway from anxiety to peace. As a little girl, I used to love to play hide and seek, but none of us like playing hide and seek with our joy. We all walk through seasons when our joy seems to disappear. So how do we find and keep our joy when we're struggling with disappointment or difficulty or anxiety? Maybe something is causing you to worry and have anxiety today. Some of you are under tremendous financial pressure right now. Some of you are anxious about your child that isn't serving God, or you're worried about your health. Listen, God knows. He hears you and He cares. But when anxiety comes in like a dark cloud, sometimes we forget that, or we struggle to believe and truly trust God with our lives. I know what it's like to struggle with anxiety and to fight for peace. In 2001 and 2003, I nearly lost my life in two near-death health crises. I was afraid. I was worried. I was filled with anxiety. I was wondering if I was going to die. God miraculously intervened in my life, and He taught me so much about how to trust His character when we're going through a trial. After I healed from that season in my life, I wrote Finding Joy When Life is Out of Focus about the book of Philippians. I want to share a pathway today from anxiety to peace from chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 with you. Paul is the author of Philippians, and he suffered many challenges that could have easily stolen his joy. Throughout his life, we see that he was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was abandoned. Yet his struggles proved to strengthen his relationship with Christ. He wrote Philippians when he was under house arrest in Rome. He was chained to a Roman guard. Still, he was able to find joy, and that tells us that we can too. He wrote Philippians to a church that he started on his second missionary journey. He loved this church community. It's so obvious as you read the book of Philippians. They were faithful to support him, and they continued to grow in Christ, even though they faced many challenges. This church community of believers in Philippi had several reasons for anxiety, including Paul's imprisonment, their own persecution, and the influence of false teachers right there in the area. So Paul addressed each concern, and he reassured them in this letter to them not to be ruled and reigned by anxiety, but to be ruled and reigned by the mind of Christ. Anxiety does not have to rule and reign over our lives. So this morning, as we look at Philippians 4, verse 4 and 9, we're going to discover a pathway from anxiety to peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned
or received or heard or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This passage and much of Philippians gives us contrasts and choices. Instead of anxiety, we can choose to go to God in prayer and thanksgiving, and we can receive his peace. Instead of an earthly mindset, we can choose to have the mind of Christ Jesus. All throughout the book of Philippians, more than 50 times, Paul talks about Christ in just 4 chapters, and for us to be in Christ. The center of the book of Philippians is a poem in chapter 2 about Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verse 5 says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." So what is the mindset of Christ Jesus? Christ chose humility. He made himself a servant. He was obedient even to death on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin and your sin and to give us salvation. He rose from the dead, and we too will have eternal life with him when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul wants us to follow not only the instructions in this chapter, but to operate from the foundation of having the mind of Christ. And when we do, we will experience the rule and reign of God and his peace instead of the rule and reign of our emotions all over the place. When we are in Christ, we carry both the privilege and the responsibility through prayer, through our thoughts, and through our lifestyle. And then God responds with his presence, the God of peace, and his character, the peace of God, which produces fruit in our lives. So our relationship with Jesus Christ should permeate everything in our lives, our relationships, our response to difficulty, our emotion, our mindset, and our behaviors. Rather than let fear or anxiety reign, as believers in Christ, we can rejoice and let the peace of God reign. You might be thinking, well, that sounds so simple, but it's hard for me. And I can understand that, but we can have the mind of Christ. Paul provides his first century audience a pathway from anxiety to peace. Present your request to God, think about certain things, and put into practice what they saw in the example of Jesus, Paul, and other Christian leaders. So let's look at this pathway that leads us from anxiety to peace. First, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The theme of joy and rejoicing is all over the book of Philippians, and it's repeated twice in this verse. Paul tells them how to rejoice in the Lord and how often to rejoice always. He uses the word kairo, and it means it's more than an emotion or a feeling. It's a choice. We can rejoice in the Lord no matter what is going on in our circumstances when we trust him to be in control. We can believe that God is good even when life is not. Then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near. Of all the attributes Paul could have mentioned, faith or patience, he says gentleness. He wants it to be obvious, not just to some, but to all, and probably mostly to those who oppose them. He said the Lord is near, reminding us that he will empower us and enable us as we stay unified in the mind of Christ. When we're anxious, we begin to believe that God is distant, right? We begin to become stressed or upset and not at peace. But when we trust that the Lord is near us, that he's present, that he's aware, that he's in control, then we can respond rather than react to our circumstances. This is not all there is. The Lord is near. This is his constant abiding presence while we're here on earth. And it's the hope of his return and the establishment of true peace. We are to have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:1 tells us that gentleness is a character trait of Jesus. He trusted the Father completely, just like we should, to enable him to walk in gentleness. Galatians 5 says it's a fruit of the Spirit in our life. It's evidence of him working. So we have to make a willful decision to cooperate with the Spirit to produce this fruit of gentleness. And when we do, everyone around us will see this fruit as well. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not just some situations, but every single situation can be brought under the covering of the character of Christ. Paul is not saying that we as believers will never experience anxiety. He's not saying we're never going to struggle with our emotions. What he is saying, though, that as believers, we don't have to be dominated or derailed by anxious thoughts. Anxiety and worry and fear should not cripple our emotions or consume our thoughts. As believers, we will still encounter situations that cause us to have fear and anxiety, but we can live victorious in Christ. We can stand firm and we can rejoice no matter what. We want the mind of Christ. We want to live in joy. We want our gentleness to be evident to everyone, and we don't want to let anxiety take over our minds and our hearts. So what are our next steps? Paul shares a pathway, three steps that we can take to move from anxiety when we feel it coming on to peace. This passage tells us to present our request to God or make our request known, think about certain things, and put it into practice. Pray, think, and act. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, he tells us, well, do what? In every situation, what should we do instead of being anxious? Well, he goes on to continue and say, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So the first step is to pray, to go to God in prayer about everything. Let your request be known to God. What's on your heart? What's clouding your thoughts and your mind? What's gripping you with fear? When something is trying to take your peace, take it to God in prayer. And instead of moving more into ourselves in fear or away from God, God wants us to move toward Him. This going toward God is orienting our lives and thoughts toward Him. But you might be saying, wait, doesn't God already know my thoughts and my needs? Why do I need to bring them to Him? Yes, He does. He's omniscient. So this step is for us. It's necessary for us to acknowledge our dependence on God, to acknowledge our need for Him. Because when we're real with God, He reveals areas of our emotions and thoughts that need to come under His lordship. And He always reveals to heal. You might be thinking, but what happens if I pray and God says no? What happens if I pray and I make my request known and I don't feel God's peace? What if I pray and the situation doesn't resolve? Maybe you feel like you've tried that and you failed prayer, or God failed you. I prayed and my marriage fell apart. I prayed and my child still isn't serving God. I prayed and my husband lost his job. Listen, God didn't fail. We live in a broken world and there will always be something to be anxious about. Situations will fail us. People will fail us. God does not promise a certain outcome we pray. He promises His presence and His peace when we pray. We release our burdens when we pray, and we trust every situation to Him in prayer. When we surrender our doubts and our fears to God, we will receive His peace and His presence. That's the promise in verse 7. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The direct result of prayer is not earthly manufactured peace, which can be dependent on our circumstances. It could be here today and gone tomorrow. What Paul is talking about is supernatural peace, beyond our understanding, and that kind of peace only comes from God. The word for this peace is the shalom of God. It means well-being and wholeness, not just for us, but for our relationships with each other. Shalom means peace or the absence of strife. When God's peace is in us, God's peace will flow out of us. This shalom, this peace will then transcend, which means it will have power over, it will take authority over our way of thinking. It also says God's peace will guard us to protect our hearts and our minds. I love this word that Paul uses, guard. It's an intentional word. The city of Philippi was in Greece, but it was a Roman colony, and its citizens received all the privileges of being Roman citizens. They had this guard, thousands of Roman soldiers that would camp around their city, and this military force was seen as the protector of their peace. Paul wants to remind them and us that even the strongest of earthly things will not bring us lasting peace. That cannot bring us true security that only comes from being secure in Christ and trusting God to be in control of our lives. God is the protector of our peace. The peace of God stands guard over our hearts and our minds. We become anxious when we feel the need to guard ourselves from being hurt or to protect ourselves from pain. But instead, we can choose to trust God's peace and His care. He is our protector. Peace of mind is our reward for a lifestyle that honors God and respects the boundaries of His word. We don't have to be consumed by anxiety. We can have the mind of Christ. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Jesus because He cares for you. God wants to give us the victory. He wants us to live in peace instead of anxiety. So that first step is to pray. The second step is to think. And Paul gives us what we should think about or meditate on. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about these things. He provides 8 adjectives to describe the nature of a believer's thought life. You can live as the overcomer God created you to be when you allow Him to renew your mind. This is not worldly peace or a list of virtues by the world standards, like, you know, power and greed and getting ahead. But these are virtues through Christ's example, truth, justice, purity. Because whatever you allow to dominate your thought life will ultimately shape your destiny. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You may have walked through life believing that you have no control over your thought life. But Scripture teaches us that that is simply not true. The Holy Spirit can sanctify our thought life. He can set it apart. He can make it holy and pleasing to the Lord. We have choices about what occupies our thoughts and occupies our mind. Our thoughts must center on truth, the first adjective that he mentions. Satan is the author of deceit, so he will do anything to keep you bound and confused, including using lies about God, lies about you, lies about other people. But you'll experience victory when you ask God to uproot any lie that you might have believed and replace them with the truth of God's word. God wants us to experience His presence, and He wants us to experience His peace. So the third step in the pathway from anxiety to peace is to act, to put into practice what we see in the life of Jesus and in other leaders like the Apostle Paul who wrote these words. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's third step exhorts believers to put into practice what they've observed in his life and in the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul transitions from the mind to actions now. Behaviors follow thoughts and beliefs, so our thought life will shape our actions. Paul asks them, imitate my humility, imitate my service, my faith. But more than anyone, we're to imitate Christ and His attitude, His humility, His love for others. It's not enough just to watch or listen to someone. Those observations must be put into practice. As a young girl, I would watch my mom play the piano. I would hear her play in our home or in our church. But it wasn't enough for me to just watch her, for me to play the piano. I had to put it into practice. Everything I'd seen and heard and learned, I put into practice. We can't just be spectators. We have to be participators. Paul said earlier that they would experience the peace of God. But this time, Paul reverses the order of the result we receive when we practice these things. And he says, the peace of God is now the God of peace. We are sons and daughters of that God of peace. And we receive His promises and His peace through His presence. He offers His peace, but we have to receive it. The names of God tell us who God is and what He does. And this is the Lord of peace, the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. He is peace. When we receive the peace, the shalom, we receive the wholeness, the completeness of God in our hearts, the completeness of God in our thought life. Shalom is the peace, the wholeness for what feels fractured or broken. Shalom is the peace, the completeness when we feel like we're not enough in our own strength. Shalom or peace, a sound mind, having the mind of Christ ruling our thoughts. And when the peace of God is in us, the peace of God will flow out of us. We are called to bring God's peace into every situation. His reconciliation, His heart, His purposes for unity in the body of Christ, and to be a witness to those who don't have a relationship with Him. We can have the mind of Christ. We can pray. We can come to Him in prayer with thanksgiving and unburden our hearts in His presence. We can think. When we spend time with Him, our thoughts become His thoughts, higher than our thoughts and our ways, and we receive His peace. And then we can act. God created you to be an overcomer. He will empower you to walk in victory and joy and to share His peace with a broken and hurting world. We're going to pray in just a moment. We're going to make our requests known to God. So let me ask you, what is causing you fear or anxiety today? What mindset or attitude needs to shift? What would happen if you didn't wake up tomorrow weighed down by anxiety? Imagine how your life could look different if you allowed the peace of God to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You don't have to live exhausted by anxiety. You can experience the peace of God and the God of peace, His shalom, His wholeness, the promise of His presence in your life. You can be saturated with shalom and carry His peace into every situation so that you can bring hope and healing to those who desperately need it. If you want the peace of God to rule and reign, to guard your heart and your mind, God wants to give you His strength as I pray. Lord, I thank You for Your peace in our life. I thank You for Your wholeness over our thoughts, our thought life, our mind, our emotions, whatever is weighing us down. Would we receive Your peace? Would we bring it to You in prayer? Would we think about Your heart and Your mind and Your word for us? And would we practice what You've taught us so that we can be Your light and Your hope to a hurting world? And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at AngelaDonatio.com, Facebook at AngelaDonatioVOV, and Instagram at AngelaDonatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.